Welcome to the weekly service message from the Crossbridge Church. Look for us on the web at www.crossbridgeny.org. Join us now as Pastor Nate Young delivers this week's message.
If you would go ahead and open your Bibles to 1 Timothy, we've made it to the last chapter in the study of 1 Timothy. We're going to be looking at just two verses today. I think they're significant verses for our thinking today, because over the last two-ish years, a lot of things have changed in our lives, haven't they? It's like the understatement of the century, isn't it? One of the things that has changed for us so radically is our work, how we work, where we work, what work even looks like, looks radically different now today for the good majority of us than it did just 2 years ago. And I'm thankful that the Word of God speaks to situations that are happening around us and to us even right now. You see, I think what's happening in this particular passage is so important for us today because Paul gives the church instructions on how to have a gospel response to difficult circumstances, especially pertaining to our work. So with this in mind, I know I told you could just be seated, but I'm going to ask you to stand again for a reading from the Word of God. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Verses 1 and 2 say this. Let all who are under a yoke as bondservants regard their own masters as worthy of all honor, so that the name of God and the teaching may not be reviled. Those who have believing masters must not be disrespectful on the ground that they are brothers, rather they must serve all the better, since those who benefit by their good service are believers and beloved. This is a reading from the Word of God. You may be seated. Now, if you printed the notes from online or you've paid attention to the notes there, you would know I've entitled this sermon, The Gospel Calls for a Gospel Response to Difficult Circumstances. So what are the difficult circumstances in this text? One of the first things that we see that make the circumstances difficult is there are two systems at play in regards to workers and their masters. There's two systems that Christians at this time live under. At this particular time, there are servants who are essentially employed by their masters, but there are also slaves. We understand this from the phrase, those who are under the yoke as bondservants. This literally would have meant someone who is slavery by capture, and they are made to pass under a yoke. This was something that captives were made to pass underneath. It was actually three spears that were lashed together to form a doorway, and this would require them to bow their heads and pass under the yoke. In doing this, the slave is now not seen as a person, but as an object, like an animal that would wear a yoke. This signifies that an animal would bear a yoke, and this person is now valued the same as them. Can we just stop for a second and allow our hearts to grieve that in the history of the world, and even in the history of our own country, that people who were created in the image and likeness of God have been so devalued and so mistreated that they would be valued and treated like animals? Can you feel the weight of that in your heart? That an image bearer of God would be devalued to the point of a possession. But thank God that human institutions do not determine the value of a person or their standing before God. Thank God that he created every person with value because he created them in his image and likeness. And we should be grieved when any person or institution does not view or treat people in this way. Now, this is the first system that's in play in Ephesus that Paul is speaking to. The second system that's in play here is the system of bond servanthood. This would have been present at this time, and this is more of the Jewish understanding of the relationship between master and bondservant. The details of how this would function are outlined in Exodus chapter 21, verses 1 through 11, and Deuteronomy chapter 15, verses 12 through 8. And we're going to say more about those later. But let me just say, this is a radically different system than what most of the world has at this time when it comes to servants and masters. In fact, though, in this system, human institutions can be used by God. In fact, this relationship between servant and master becomes more of a father-son relationship. And this is very important for what we're going to talk about later, because what we're going to see is that everyone is a slave to something. You are either a slave to sin or you are a slave to Christ. So this understanding of this bond-servant-master relationship is very important when we start talking about our relationship to Christ. But in this particular understanding, this particular function that was outlaid in Exodus 21 and Deuteronomy 15 creates this relationship between master and bondservant in such a way that allowed for those who were in hard economic situations to have a way to make a living. There was a specific amount of time that the bondservant would serve the master. That was 6 years. And after that 6 years of service, they would be sent out by their master to start out on their own. They would be given resources to begin their own life. This system's not much unlike the current system that we function in today, the system of employer and employee. We see this even at the highest level of employment, right? In sports, it's normal to hear about a player who signs a contract for a certain amount of years and a certain amount of money. We know that even doctors sign contracts with hospitals that details times of service, how they would be paid, and how their benefits would be remunerated to them. But almost everyone who has worked for a company has signed an employment contract, which would include the job information like job, title, their department they would work in, what their work schedule would be, length of employment, compensation and benefits, employee responsibility, and even termination conditions. These are familiar terms to almost all of us because at some point the good majority of us have worked for some sort of outside institution, a business. But in this system worked to the benefit of both parties. And in the case of the nation of Israel, this system worked to give people who didn't have a means of their own to earn a living and to even go out and start their own businesses once their term was over. Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 13 through 15 details this for the people of Israel. It says, when someone has someone in their employment and their 6 years of time is up, when you let them go free from you, you shall not let them go empty-handed. You shall furnish them liberally out of your flock, out of your threshing floor, and out of your winepress. Now, look what he does in this particular passage. We need to start thinking already salvation motifs when we think about these particular passages. Because in this particular passage, he's going to make a direct connection to the nation of Israel's salvation and how they should treat others in their employment. He says, as the Lord God has blessed you, you shall give to him. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you. Therefore, I command you this today. The foundation for how they were to treat those who work for them is in the foundation of how God treated them by giving them their freedom from Egypt. And not only giving them their freedom from Egypt, but bringing them to the promised land and providing for them all along the way. You see, in this passage, not only do we see two systems, but we also see two types of masters. We see saved and unsaved. The issues with these two masters are totally different, but the issues of masters are not actually the point of the passage. We can get caught up in all the details and miss the actual point that's being communicated here. The point of the passage is actually point number two of the sermon today. How is a Christian to respond to difficult circumstances, or how are they to respond to these circumstances? I think first and foremost, just taking a larger view of Scripture, in the life of the Christian, there should be a longing for the freedom in Christ that will be fully realized by all human institutions at Christ's return. I am thankful, and I hope that you are too, that when Christ returns, everything that has been set wrong by the curse of sin will be set right. Amen? There will be no more corrupt institutions or corrupt hearts that will have any operational ability when Christ returns. And I am thankful for this. But until that...
Thank you for joining us. Please feel free to share this message, but remember, don't charge for it or change it. The Lord's message should be free and for everyone.